Scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. That's Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. And I am reading from the New American Standard. And it reads, "Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter said to him, 'May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity.'"
The past 3 weeks, been looking at some things that are detrimental to our self-esteem and our self-confidence. And this morning, we're going to look at the problem of resentment and bitterness. These are two attitudes that seriously hinder our self-esteem. And to some extent, we all suffer from this, whether it might be coming from something that's deep in our past or something that is more recent. Now, if you will, imagine for a moment that someone is coming up to you and they want to shake hands with you and they want to strike up a friendship. However, this someone is dragging behind them a dead dog, a dog that's been dead for some time. The man says to you, "I know this thing stinks, but I just can't let go of him. Do you want to pet him? Would you want to get to know this man? Do you want that kind of a friendship? How about spend any time of meaningful time with him?" You know, none of us would carry around a dead dog, but a lot of us drag around something that's just as smelly and offensive. And that's resentment and bitterness, holding a grudge, allowing bitterness to live and even reign in our hearts. It will ruin our lives. And most certainly, it will keep us from that proper self-esteem that God so desires us to have. Have you ever read the book, Moby Dick? I cheated. I went and saw the movie. That book's pretty thick. The great white whale that crippled Captain Ahab. And from that point on, he became obsessed with destroying Moby Dick. His whole life revolved around resentment and bitterness. And his bitterness twisted him into this cruel and hateful person. And as you read the book or go through the movie, it's plain to see that the real victim of Ahab's hatred is Ahab himself. His obsession made him the world's most unhappy man. But here's something that we do need to know. Bitterness is a sin. It makes us miserable, and it makes those around us miserable. So this morning, we're going to look at what bitterness is. We're going to try to see the causes, the things that cause us to be bitter, and what it does to us. And most important, how we can keep from becoming bitter. Webster's dictionary defines bitterness as an attitude of unfriendliness, resentment, and animosity. You see, these three things go in hand in hand. Doris Black was an author, a sister in Christ, and she wrote that if we fail to overcome our resentment and animosity, then it is likely to develop into bitterness. And bitterness is the malignant form of resentment and animosity, and it is capable of spreading rapidly until it affects all areas of our lives, causing us to become harsh, reproachful, unpleasant, and unfriendly people. Now, bitterness works something like this. Someone does us wrong and gets away with it, so we become bitter. Or someone achieves the success that we feel we deserve. We become bitter. At life, in some way or another, is unfair, so we become bitter. We struggle with some sin more than other Christians. We become bitter. We think God is treating others better than they treat us, so we become bitter. So in our bitterness, we cultivate a low self-esteem. We become ugly, hateful, unfriendly to others, and sometimes to everybody. Does this describe some of us? This is what Paul wrote about in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, turn there. We'll be starting in verse 30, Ephesians chapter 4. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. These three verses is what Paul reminds us of, putting away the old man and putting on the new. See, there's certain attitudes that have no place in our hearts as God's children. And one of these is bitterness. A bitter heart grieves the Holy Spirit because it is filled with anger and animosity. And bitterness prompts the spirit of ingratitude. That bitter heart, that resentful heart, is one that is going to speak bad, ugly, and evil things about others and toward others. Chances are we know somebody who is harboring these traits. And if they are harboring these traits, then chances are they're harboring bitterness. But you'll notice what Paul says we need to replace bitterness with. And that is kindness and forgiveness. You can't be bitter and kind at the same time. You can't be resentful and forgiving at the same time. Henry Ward Beecher wrote, "Every man should have a large cemetery in which to bury the faults and hurts caused by his friends." But there's another scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 14 and 15. And it says, "Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. That no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." I think that makes it pretty plain that bitterness causes trouble. It can cause relationary problems. It can cause a person to turn their back on the grace of God. And as the Hebrew writer said, it defiles us. There is no hope of a right relationship with God if all we are doing is pursuing bitterness and resentment and animosity. Now, I like the book of James. James speaks a lot about wisdom. And in James chapter 3, in verses 13 through 15, James writes here, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his work in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic." Our bitterness is connected to envy and selfishness. It grows rapidly in our hearts, especially the hearts that are focused on self. And as he says, it is of the devil. Bitterness is frequently the result of our wanting and coveting something that someone else has. That's envy. In Colossians 3 and verse 19, Paul writes here, "Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh," or we can insert bitter, "with them." You know, in Paul's day, and there are still countries today where women are second-class citizens. And they were frequently mistreated by their husbands and maybe other men in the community. But Paul made it very clear in Galatians 3 and verse 28 that there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And it's possible that as Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, that there were some men in that congregation who did not like the idea of equality and who needed to be reminded not to be bitter towards their wives. Now, you can't read these scriptures without coming to the conclusion that we do have control over our self-confidence and that we can refuse to hold the attitudes or be involved in those behaviors that are detrimental to our self-esteem. Now, with these scriptures in mind, let's examine a couple of lives that were filled with bitterness. The first one is part of what Rusty read in our scripture reading in Acts chapter 8, the account of Simon the sorcerer. And according to verse 9 of Acts chapter 8, he would astonish the people of Samaria by claiming to be someone great. And everyone had said that this man is the power of God that is called great. Now, but the truth was is that his power didn't come from God and wasn't really a power at all. He was just a really good magician. He tricked people into believing that he had these supernatural abilities. And then lo and behold, one day a man by the name of Philip, he comes to Samaria to preach the gospel. And Simon was among those who believed and was baptized. In verse 13, it tells us that Simon was amazed at seeing these miracles and the signs that were done. So in verses 20 through 23, Simon asked if he could buy these miraculous abilities for himself. Verse 22 and 23 is the kicker. For Peter rebuked him. And he said, "Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are in gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." You know, as I was preparing this, I got to thinking, what would happen if the apostles, if Christ was alive today and among us today, and we would ask something simply, something that we on the outside would appear to be very noble, but they're looking at the heart. And I'm sure Simon was hoping to be able to do something, but because of what was in his heart, it was that bitterness, that jealousy of seeing things happening before his very eyes that he could not do. This is it. This is where we find that bitterness is a sin. And it is a sin that calls for confession and repentance and prayer. And this is not some old-fashioned, out-of-date doctrine. This is just as real today as it was then. But let's go to Luke chapter 15. Let's look at the older brother of the prodigal son. This parable of the young man who broke his father's heart and left home to live in a far country, a country where he would spend that time living in sin. It was there that he wasted his inheritance in rebellious and sinful living. He lost everything, ended up feeding pigs and hoping that there was some food left behind that the pigs didn't eat so that he could eat. But he understood that he didn't deserve his father's forgiveness. But in his mind, he was focusing on that his father might at least have him on as a servant so that at least he would have a place to stay and food to eat. But what he found when he got home was a father who was excited that he came. And it was a happy occasion for his father. And it was a reason for them to celebrate. But there was one that was not willing to celebrate. And let's look and listen to the narrative in verses 25 through 30 of Luke 15. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he received him back safe and sound." But he was angry. He refused to go in, and the father came out, and he entreated him. But he answered his father. "Look, these many years I have served you. I never disobeyed your command, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. And then this son of yours comes home, who's devoured your property with prostitutes. You killed the fattened calf for him?" On the outside, this older brother appears to be everything a father would look forward to. One who worked hard, obeyed his commands, lived by his rules. But that's on the outside. On the inside, this man was filled with anger and jealousy and resentment, animosity, even hate. And he is the classic example of bitterness. It's easy for us to give in to the bitterness, and especially if we feel that we've been victimized. Maybe we've been betrayed by someone we trusted and they hurt us. Maybe we've been abused or rejected physically, mentally, sexually, socially, economically, and even religiously. And we sulk and we grumble. We get angry with people who got what we didn't. We take every opportunity to accuse others of wrongdoing. We keep a list of every imaginable wrong done to us. We spend a lot of time whining about how unfair life is. Satan makes it so easy to give in to bitterness. But we have a choice. We have a choice. We can choose to concentrate on our hurts, or we can choose to put away our hurts before they become hates. We can choose to forgive those who have wronged us. We can learn to rejoice in the good fortunes of others, even if in the process we've been neglected. How do we overcome our bitterness? First, we must recognize that it is a lie that all mankind is equal. Yes, we have the same self-worth in that we are all made in God's image, that we all have souls worth saving eternally. But we are not all born, live, and die equally. There is no way to live equality in our world. Democracy promised it, but failed to establish it. Communism tried and failed even more miserably. Satan will sustain bitterness forever in the hearts of those who buy into the lie that if we've been wronged, if we don't have everything someone else has, it's not fair. It's rampant in our society today. But you know, sometimes life is unfair, and we just need to accept it. We need to get used to it and make the most of it. Secondly, we have an awful lot to be thankful for. And we need to count our blessings. You go back to that older brother sitting there whining and crying that his other brother got something. He had forgotten that everything that his father had belongs to him. And it was his dad that had to remind him of that. He was bitter because he was focused on what he didn't have to the point that he forgot everything that he did have. When these resentful thoughts start coming into our minds, we need to stop and count our blessings. We need to rid ourselves of bitterness by sharing with and serving others. Carl Menninger was asked what he would do if he knew he was dying. Excuse me. He said that he would find someone in worse condition and serve them. God was a servant. God gave us his son. Jesus was a servant. And Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7, Paul says that Jesus did not count equality with God something to be held on to, but he emptied himself, taking on the very nature of a servant. And finally, my friends, forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key to overcoming bitterness. We at least once a week should read the Beatitudes. Matthew 5 through 7. At least once a week to be mindful of these things. In Matthew chapter 6 and verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Promised blessings to those who forgive others. If there are others who have wronged us, and this is the reason for our bitterness, we need to forgive them and let it go. Move on. Don't sit there in the path. Don't drag that stinking dog behind you. Forgiveness cleans the slate. It gives us a new beginning and allows life to be more enjoyable. See, biblical forgiveness is letting go the animosity and the hurt and the resentment and the bitterness. Have you looked at some folks? Maybe some are very familiar with them, and every time you see them, it looks like they could bite nails into. But that's their expression 24/7. It never changes. You don't see them smile. You don't see them talking happy, joyful things. It's always misery, misery, misery. We don't have to live like that. And if we're dealing with low self-confidence, God is saying to confess our faults and to repent of our resentment and bitter thoughts and attitudes and work to change those sinful dispositions and ask forgiveness from God and others and start enjoying the happiness that comes from that healthy self-esteem. If you are not a child of God, this morning we want to give you that opportunity today. It seems as if life moves at the speed of light. And one moment we're here and the next we're gone. And so God has graced us with the opportunity at this very moment to make that decision to become a child of God, to secure you a home in eternity, a home of joy and happiness. And we want to offer you that opportunity this morning to repent, confess, and be baptized in New Testament baptism for the remission of your sins. And maybe you're sitting out there and you're saved, that there's bitterness and animosity in your hearts, and you need to get rid of it. And you want our prayers to help you do that. Or maybe you just need to repent of those things. If anyone has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.